Hey, Go Team Partners. Robert back with you for another installment of our partner audios in this wonderful month of March. And our topic this month is increase. And, you know, whenever we talk about increase, whenever we talk about multiplication and miracles of multiplication, I always think of when Jesus fed the 4,000. Now, I know the feeding of the 4,000, feeding of the 5,000, there's different tellings of it in the different gospels. But for one of the clearest strategies of how to see increase, I think Matthew 15, when Jesus feeds the 4,000, is really, really helpful because it not only shows us a key to seeing kingdom multiplication and kingdom increase, it shows us what can block kingdom multiplication and kingdom increase. And we all know the story. Jesus and the disciples are with the crowds. They've been there with them for 3 days. I'm going to pick things up. Let's see. We're in verse 32 of Matthew 15, and I'm reading out of my old 1996 New Living Translation. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I feel sorry for these people. They've been here with me for 3 days, and they have nothing left to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry, or they will faint along the road. The disciples replied, and where would we get enough food out here in the wilderness for all of them to eat? Let's stop right there. So the first thing we see is Jesus' heart for the people. Jesus sees a need, and his response is, hey, there's a need. Let's fulfill it. We're never in lack with our Heavenly Father. We're plugged into a system of plenty and abundance. We're plugged into heaven here in the earth. So there's a need. Let's fulfill it. So even as he's starting to say, hey, there's hungry people. Let's feed them, we see in the disciples' response exactly what not to do. The disciples reply, where would we get enough food out here in the wilderness for all of them to eat? The disciples are looking at what they don't have. The disciples are looking at their complete inability in the natural to come up with enough food or enough money to buy enough food or anything that would meet the need in their own strength. And they get into fear, they get into anxiety, they get into panic, they get into self-pity. How could you ask us to do this? This is an impossible situation, Lord. Where would we get enough food to feed them all out here in the wilderness? And I feel like Jesus is thinking to himself, it's exactly what I wanted to hear from you. Where would we get food for this? We'd get it from heaven. We'd get it from the economy, the source that we are all actually plugged into in my Father. So key number one to increase, don't murmur and complain, especially when you're in an impossible situation and you see no ability in your own strength, from your own resources, from your own sources, and the natural to meet a need. Key number one, don't murmur and complain. Murmuring and complaining shuts the heavens. Murmuring and complaining works the exact opposite of bringing multiplication. It actually brings decrease. Well, it actually does bring multiplication, but what it multiplies is fear, anxiety. It actually increases the lack because we get focused on what we don't have in the natural. And as we've all learned from Patricia over the years, and she teaches so wonderfully on whatever we focus on, we empower. Murmuring and complaining shows you're focused on lack, you're focused on your inability to meet the need, and that actually brings an increase of lack, an increase of the dearth of heaven's provision, because you're choosing murmuring, complaining, self-pity, anxiety, fear. You're choosing to eat of things that are not of heaven, right? What does Jesus do? Jesus's response is totally different. He immediately wants to get them to see, okay, you're all freaked out about what you don't have. Let me shift your focus a little bit to the fact that you do have something. He says, after they say, where would we get enough food out here in the wilderness for all of them to eat? Jesus asked, how many loaves of bread do you have? They replied, 7 and a few small fish. So they're still in this lack and complaining mentality. We only have 7 loaves and a few small fish. But Jesus is trying to get them to shift their focus from what they don't have to what they do have. Because when we give thanks, which Jesus is about to do, when we are grateful for what we do have, it actually brings increase. And Jesus does this. He's, while they're freaking out and saying, we only have 7 loaves, we just have a few small fish. There's no way that's going to meet the need and feed these thousands of people. That's insane. Jesus simply takes the loaves and the fish, and it says, So Jesus told all the people to sit down on the ground. Oh, wait, let's pause there. That's so rich. So while the disciples are looking at their complete inability to meet the need, and in their mind, total insufficiency of what is on hand, and they're murmuring, complaining, and the only increase they're seeing is an increase of anxiety, fear, and doubt, Jesus looks at what is on hand, the loaves and fish, and he says, this is great. And he's so filled with faith. He's so filled with expectancy. He actually tells the people to sit down on the ground and get ready for a picnic. So he's not put off by the quote unquote little that they have. He's grateful for what they have on hand. So it says, they replied, 7 loaves and a few small fish. So Jesus told all the people to sit down on the ground, get ready for a picnic, baby. Then he took the 7 loaves. Jesus took the 7 loaves and the fish, thanked God for them, broke them into pieces, and gave them to the disciples, who distributed the food to the crowd. They all ate until they were full. And when the scraps were picked up, there were 7 large baskets of food left over. So right here, we see the key to increase. Give thanks for what we have on hand. Now, one of the things that happens is we look at what we have on hand and think this isn't enough. Jesus looked at what he had on hand and was grateful because he knew ultimately what he had on hand was his heavenly Father and a connection to all of heaven. So he saw what he had in his hand. He wasn't looking to that to be enough to meet the need of thousands. He was looking at that as proof his heavenly Father was already providing. They could have nothing. They had 7 loaves and some fish. He looked at that like seed. And, you know, we have a saying in our ministry, I've shared this with you before, if it doesn't meet the need, it's seed. A farmer doesn't look at a handful of seed and go, there's no apples here. I sell apples. I don't sell seed. All I have is this seed. I'm doomed. No, he thinks, thank you, God, for seed, because I can plant this seed. I can sow this seed. I can water this seed. I can tend to this seed. I can tend to the soil, and it will bring forth apple trees, which will bring forth apples, which will have more seeds. And I'll go from a handful of seeds to a handful of apple trees filled with each of those filled with apples, each of those apples filled with seed. I'll have a grove in no time. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for this seed. That was Jesus's response to the loaves and the fish. Thank you, Father, so much that you're here with us. Thank you that you care. Thank you that we have something on hand, but what we ultimately look to is you. So we give thanks for what we have. It doesn't meet the need, but it doesn't need to. It's simply seed. You will meet the need as we sow this seed in faith. And I believe the key to the increase comes by giving thanks. Increase doesn't come because we're saying, thank you, Father, for this little bit. I'm being a good Christian. So Daddy, give me another helping of what I need if I perform. No. Multiplication and increase comes because we're thankful not only for what we have, but for who we have with us. We look at what we have as a sign that who we have has already started to provide, and we give thanks, we give thanks, we give thanks, and we see the increase. I can't remember if I've shared this testimony with you guys, but years ago when I was going through my severe health challenges for well over a decade, I remember one day. It was especially rough day, and I was very, very weak and very, very sick, and this had been going on for years and years and years. I'd seen doctors all over the world, been to clinic and treatment centers all over the world, had all sorts of diagnoses that didn't work, treatments that didn't work, medicines that didn't work, experimental treatments that didn't work, and I had spent tens of thousands of dollars on treatments and trying to figure out what this was and trying to get a little bit better, and I was sick and weaker than ever. And I was very discouraged. I was afraid. And honestly, I'd given place to self-pity. I was feeling sorry for myself. And I was complaining to the Lord about it one day, sitting in my prayer chair, but I wasn't praying. I was murmuring, complaining. I was caught up in fear. I was caught up in anxiety. I was so focused on how little bit of strength, little bit of health, and little bit of vigor and vitality I had. I could barely lift my head that day. And while I was murmuring, complaining, the Lord got my attention because he spoke very clearly to me. It was in my heart. It wasn't an audible voice, but it was very clear. And he said, I want you to thank me for the strength you have right now. And to be perfectly blunt, my response was to be kind of offended. I remember thinking, give you thanks for the strength in my body. What strength? I barely had the strength to get out of bed. And the Lord said to me, but you did get out of bed. and you had the strength to go over to the kitchen and put the kettle on, and you had the strength to wait while the kettle boiled and make a cup of tea, and you had the strength to get back to your prayer chair and sit in your prayer chair. And I was thinking, I'm not even really sitting in my prayer chair. I'm almost laying. I'm so weak. I'm not even lifting my head up. And again, the Lord said, give me thanks for the strength in your body right now. And I almost begrudgingly did it. I was like, all right, fine. Thank you, Lord, for the strength in my body right now. And a little something shifted. I thought, well, you know, I did have the strength to get out of bed, and I did have the strength to get, and I went through it. I was like, thank you for this, just like he said. And I started thanking him for the little strength that I had. And something began to shift, not so much in my body at first, but in my soul. I went from a place of murmuring and complaining to all of a sudden genuinely being thankful and thinking, you know what, God, I did have the strength to get out of bed today. Thank you. And I started thanking him for all this strength. That little as it was, but in the shift from murmuring, complaining, and self-pity, I started to give thanks for what I had. And now it didn't happen as quick as the loaves and the fish. It didn't, there wasn't this immediate download, but there was a shift that happened. And I remember all of a sudden, every day, I would find something to be thankful for. Lord, thank you that I had the strength to walk to the mailbox today. And even if it would put me in bed for a day or two afterwards, I would think, well, Lord, thank you that I had the strength for that. And thank you that I have the, all, whatever it was. And over time, multiplication and increase came. But God had to help me shift from murmuring and complaining about little strength to thanking him for strength I did have. And here's what I saw in myself when he helped me with that shift. The reason I resisted doing it is I was believing this lie. Like if I thanked God for the little bit of strength, then I was accepting that little bit of strength as my portion. But like we talked about last time, I had to come to realize, no, I was made for increase. I was made to be fruitful. I was made to multiply. I was made for strength. And giving thanks for what I had helped me realize that what ultimately I had was God with me, the truth of God's word, the reality of God's truth, right? And so as I would thank him for what I had, over time I saw increase until I found a doctor that knew what was going on, started on some treatments, got better and better, got more and more breakthroughs with more and more prayer until now I'm basically back to full strength and doing everything I was doing before I ever got sick. But the breakthrough came when I was willing to give thanks for what I had on hand, as it were, not accepting that as my portion and going, thank you, God, that I have a little bit of strength, even though it's not, but really pushing murmuring, complaining, and self-pity aside. That's the key to Thanksgiving. When we give thanks for the fact that there's something in the cupboard, we'll see an increase of provision. When we give thanks that there's something in the checkbook, even if it doesn't quite look like enough, we're saying, but no, Lord, I have something which proves you're already providing. And thank you, thank you, thank you for this provision. And that works like nurturing the soil and sowing the seed, and increase will come forth because we're made for increase. And Thanksgiving, we see so clearly in Matthew 15, is a key to miracle multiplication and kingdom increase.